Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of The Real with Sage Single Moms. Today's show is about the emotions that keep us in bondage. And I'm your host, Patricia Taylor, and we have a guest, Ms. Shu Gabinki, and she is the founder of Grace and Hope Consultant and is a board-certified Christian counselor and a certified cognitive behavioral group therapist. And a certified person-centered thinking trainer. She has over 10 years of experience working in the human services involving providing counseling, case management, and job training to individuals affected by mental health challenges, intellectual and development differences, and additions, homelessness, and single parentness. Welcome, Shu.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We thank you for being a guest and giving us some information about how we can get out of this emotional bondage.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here.
Okay. So let's start with, as parents, how do the emotional bondage may affect us as parents with children?
Mm-hmm. So when we, as parents, as we carry our own emotions and we cannot carry that weight with us for the different roles we have and the people we live with, especially a single mom, we're usually stuck with our kids most of the time, right? And the kids are the one who then are affected by how our mood or switching or shifting, you know, so rapidly when we become so irritable. They're the one that, you know, are kind of at the receiving end of that. You might be snapping too quickly with your kids. You might be, maybe you're so frustrated you don't even have the energy to help the kids with homework. Or every time the kids mention the name of the over partner, their dad, and you're just like, I can't take this anymore. And it's not the kid's fault, right? So even without realizing, without intentionally wanting to put the burden on our kids, but when we're in bondage from an emotional standpoint, we are immediately, you know, we are kind of broadcasting down our children without even knowing it. And our kids, honestly, are the ones that always, you know, sadly so, that gets the short end of the stick because it's not their fault, but they're the ones that suffer the most from it.
I understand. We get to those snapping points.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to correct that it's certain things we probably can do before we get to a snapping point or if we feel
exactly.
Like it's coming along.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What can we do before we get to those points, just when we feel it coming on? Because we know when it's coming on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to, like you say, you're right, you have to know yourself well enough to know, like, what your triggers are. So before, you know, if you know that you're still grieving so hard that the mention of the spouse's name or the ex-boyfriend's name is just going to trigger you, then start having that conversation with your kids ahead of time or anybody else, you know, your friends, your relatives. You know, still having that conversation, like identify your triggers and then having conversation with the people who are around you so they can support you in those times. If you know that when you come up home from work, you're already drained physically, then any over demands that comes on becomes too much for you. Start being proactive about it. What can you do ahead of time so then you kind of alleviate that stress on yourself, and then you don't have so much on your shoulder at the end of the day and you're overwhelmed and you start just snapping and being upset about everything. So, yeah, I think being proactive is key. So first one, I'll say identify your triggers. What are those things that send you over the edge? Once you identify those things, then start working on it. Like what can you do differently? Do you need to ask for help? Do you need to – it can be help like tangible things. Can the kids – are the kids – old enough to help with, you know, maybe laundry or help with the dishes or help you in the kitchen when you're cooking dinner. You know, they can be passing the ingredients to you. Like, how can you, you know, ask for help around you, like with things that people can help you with? But also, how can you ask for help emotionally? Like, how can you start taking care of this emotion? Because, yes, you can, you know, be proactive on a day-to-day basis, but if you haven't dealt with those emotional wounds, they're still there. They're gonna keep coming up. It's gonna be this over-ending cycle. Like you keep working on it, it keep coming up because the wound was never healed. So, you know, yes, you know, ask for help as you need it. Reduce your stress level. You know, make sure that people in your support system know what help you need and how they can support you. But also take care of your mental health. In the long run, that's what helps the most.
Got it. I understand that. We'll take care of mental health in the long run. You said something very important. There's sometimes it's a cycle. So how do we break those cycles? Because even though as we know our triggers and be self-aware, we want to be renewed. We want to be different and operate in a different and a more healthy way. So how can we break the cycle of those emotional bondage?
Yes. So once you get to the point where it becomes a cycle, honestly, I'll say it's time to seek professional help. Because if you're in the cycle, that means you're in a rut. Like you tried it so many times and you keep hitting that wall and you keep going through the same revolving door over and over and over again. Well, we all know the definition of insanity, right? So we don't want you to be doing the same thing expecting that you're going to get different results. Because obviously you tried everything you can and it's not working. And, you know, you have to give yourself even credit also that the point that you made it to that point. That means you're a strong woman. You work so hard. So, yes, you know, that's the definition of insanity, but that doesn't mean that you're insane. I just want to clarify that. That means you're a strong woman who tried anything she could to take care of herself and take care of her kids. So you did what you could, and it's okay to ask for help. When we get to that point where it becomes a cycle and you can no longer break it on your own, you need to have some other people coming into your life. You know, if it's really stemming from a lot of mental health concerns, maybe you need a mental health counselor. If, you know, if it's more like a life setback and you think, well, I'm just not able to move to the next level, maybe you need a life coach. And that's totally fine. And maybe it's some spiritual things. They say, maybe I need to talk to a pastoral counselor or just a pastor. That's totally okay. But if you get to the point where it's a cycle and you've tried anything you could on your own, and you're not getting the results you want, please, please, please do yourself a favor, do your children a favor, and seek professional help. Because that's what helps. Like, no one on this earth can, you know, can make a full life on our own. We're not meant to be carrying our own burdens. You know, we carry our problems, we carry our, you know, like a knapsack if you want. Yes, but when it becomes a burden, that could somebody else needs to come and carry it along with you. That means it's too heavy for you to carry on your own. So that's, you know, to break that cycle, my recommendation is to seek help. And it's seeking help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. A strong woman is a woman who knows when she needs help and can accept the help because she knows the help will help push her forward and push her move farther than where she can get on her own. And that, again, it is strength. It's not a weakness.
Awesome. So, ladies, y'all hear that? We need to seek help. A strong woman knows when she needs help. I love that phrase. Because we all need help. We all need to be connected. We was made on our own, but we was made to connect with one another and grow and build and grow together. So, that's wonderful. Do you think she do... Do women carry, because, you know, we always hear that phrase, women are emotional creatures. Do you think men carry emotional bondage as well as women, or you think women carry it more so than men?
So men can be as well, but the way we're built, like there's a lot of research down around it. Yes, women tend to be more emotional. We just show it more. It doesn't mean that we are more emotional per se. We all feel the same most likely, but we are just conditioned to show it more. And it's also because of how society, you know, just view the different role that men and women carry. So in our society in general, if a man is standing in the, I don't know, post office and is crying, people will be taken aback by it, right? They'll be like, oh, okay, this is uncomfortable. What's going on here? You know, but if a woman is standing there crying, someone will come put an arm around her and ask, are you okay? Because what? Our society has taught us that men are supposed to be tough and to be strong. And we all can be strong, but we can all be weak as well. It is okay. And we are continually teaching the same, those, you know, habits to our kids, and we're raising these boys who don't know how to show emotions. And these boys marry, and then they marry our daughters, and then we have dysfunctional homes because people don't know how to connect emotionally. So, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, we're not doing ourselves a favor. We're not doing our children a favor. We're not doing society and future generations a favor when we are not open to sharing our emotions. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we have to be open to just like letting it out all the time, everywhere. No, you want to make sure you're choosing safe people, safe places, you know, to let your guards down and be who you are and share your emotions. But I think men should also be allowed to do that, you know. And I hear so many nowadays, especially like with even when we think about the Me Too culture, like everybody's coming at all, these women coming out about, you know, all of us, the things that happened to us and people took advantage of us, and it's sad that that happened to us. But has anybody asked how many men also been through that? But who give? No, nobody's giving men even the power or the right to even come up front and say, oh, yes, me too, and I'm a man, I'm not a woman. You see what I mean? So it's more of a society thing. It's not necessarily that, you know, men are not, you know, are not emotional. They are emotional beings. But society is not accepting of men, you know, showing their emotions. And then we just became a culture that way, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy in the long run for anyone.
Yes, I agree. You made a good point that society do play a big role on how we act, and we both have emotions and know how to deal with it healthy, because it is all right for men to show emotion. You know, you hear that phrase, men don't cry, and people really say sometimes that don't cry. Oh, don't be a crybaby. Right. You got to take it. You got to be strong. It's nothing wrong with crying, like you said, a safe place to be vulnerable and show your emotions, because we don't need them to be bottled up. We need to know how to express them and express them in a healthy way, because once we get it out, we can move forward and handle them in a healthy way. But once we bottle it up, it becomes an issue. When it do, you snap, and then it comes out in a different manner. And not always in a manner would like it to come out, because we're frustrated and we let it pile up on us and we haven't talked about it or haven't discussed it. And we need to know how to discuss things, move forward, communicate well. Mm-hmm. And like you said, connect with the right people to help us. There's nothing wrong with seeking help. Counselors, professional help, life coach. And that's for all of us as human beings, men and women. And if we have a partner and communicate with our partner and know, like you said, know our triggers, be self-aware of what ticks us off. And most importantly, we want to know how we can heal from it and deal with our emotions in a healthy way.
Right.
So, yes. There's some things we could do before we get to the level of going to seek professional help.
So, yeah, like I said earlier, like reducing your level of stress, it starts, like stress is just, it's not good for anyone. And, you know, when we're stressed out, we're not healthy, and, you know, it generates a lot of, you know, physical and emotional stuff in us. And, you know, that trickles down to how we interact with our children. And so start by reducing your stress. Like what do you have on your plate right now that's just too much? You know, start reducing there. And then and with reducing stress, it doesn't always have to be like a single mom will say, yeah, I can't. I'm the only person taking care of my kids. I have to work. I have to feed them. You know, I have to come home and do homework and do the laundry and cook and all those things that must be done. So it's not just about things I want to do or things that must be done. And I get it. But do they all have to be done at the exact same minute? So what the one thing that I do with a lot of people that I work with, you know, with reducing stress is like, look, put down all the things that you think you need to, all the things you do, not even you think you need to do, all the things you need you do every day that, you know, that go on your list, on your to-do list. Then start prioritizing those things. Which ones are must-do and which one is can-do? And your must-dos, even with those, then you prioritize that list as well. Yes, you must pay your rent, but your rent is not due until the 1st, for example. So if you're on the 15th and the electric bill is due on the 20th, then maybe instead of taking the stress on the 1st, maybe paying the bill for the 20th first. You see what I mean? Just same thing, like, you know, with how you prioritize your time. You know, what needs to happen first? Because often what happens with our emotions, especially as women and moms, what happens, we get so overwhelmed because we think about all the things that we must do, you know, all the things. And we feel overwhelmed. It's just too much at once. So breaking it down into smaller tasks, breaking it down into giving yourself deadlines for things, but within limits as well. You know, things that can wait. Don't put more on your plate than you have to. Yes, you have to feed your kids. I totally get it. But if you're going to get home, then it's going to wait for you when you're there. So it's like even knowing that it's okay to wait until you get there, you know, and cook dinner then and start worrying about dinner when you're at work at 12 o'clock. So, you know, really being able to prioritize and, you know, so you can reduce the stress. And then asking for help, involved with kids, you know, teaching them all those skills. I mean, my kids have learned so much just because we all need to help each other. And we become, you know, those skills they're going to use even when I'm no longer here to help them, you know. So involve everyone in your home and so that everybody takes ownership about we all live here, we all work together to make, you know, this household keep moving forward.
Love it. We got, as parents, y'all, we got to definitely work together and delegate. Thank you for that. We got to delegate some obligations in the house. When kids get a certain age, from the youngest to the oldest, okay, you take out the laundry, you take out this. Okay, somebody set the table, somebody wash the dishes, somebody help me dry, put that away, take this out. So it won't be on us. We definitely got to limit our stress and don't overcommit ourselves. Like you said, must-dos, can-dos, put deadlines on things. You know the saying, we need to prepare, plan, and execute. So prepare what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, have a goal plan in your head, and ask for help, and that will release some of the stress from your emotions not getting so out of whack there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I think we covered the cycles of stress relievers, over demand, and we definitely need to have a support system. Parents, we need to have a support system, moms, friends, or family we could call when we definitely may need a break or take a moment to get our thoughts together, to regroup. We all need that. We all need time to regroup and move forward. But we definitely want to take time to heal for any past hurts also.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't have the same effect if things is hurting us and things we haven't dealt with. We can't just sweep it under the rug, folks. We definitely got to deal with it. Right, you, we got to deal with some issues that may be holding us back, keeping us to be our best selves.
Exactly. So true. Yeah, it goes back to that cycle we talked about, you know. So we even when you learn to reduce your stress and, you know, have a support system, but if you have those, you know, past wounds that you just brushed out under the rug and you're not dealing with it, you're never going to move past that. You know, it's always going to be hindering your self-development. It's always going to be hindering your healing and your personal growth. So, yes, you want to be able to address that, so that you can kind of break that cycle, definitely. And I wanted to add something as well when I talked about doing your must do's and your can do's. So the beauty of that, it's when you focus on the things that must be done first, and then if you get people, you know, your support system, including your kids and friends and relatives and family, to all help you, then your must do's, you kind of knock down the list faster because you're delegating and recruiting help. Then you have more time to do your can do's, the things you can do for yourself also, not just things you can do for the house. No. One way to reduce stress in the long term, one way to be the best you can be, is to invest in yourself. And that doesn't have to be investing money-wise. I'm talking about investing just even your own time. You know, instead of having your thought cluttered by with all the problems you have, all the people that, you know, you just, you know, are so angry at, what if you spend those 10 minutes thinking about how wonderful you are as a mother? You know, how can you spend those 10 minutes even sitting and calling with your kids and actually doing something that's enjoyable? And that's another way also to, you know, when you're teaching your kids to, you know, help with the house chores in the house, that's one way to present it to them. Is if we all work together, then the chores get done quicker, then we have more time to do fun things. And the more fun you put in your life, the more joy you have in your life, and the healthier you will be.
Love that, because we do want to make time for not the things we're responsible for, our commitments, but make time for enjoying life and doing the things we want to do. I tell my son all the time, do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. And that goes for us too as adults. We got to do what we have to do what we want to do. And when we do things that we want to do, it makes life more enjoyable and creating moments with our children and just sitting back and having some quiet time. It really helps us to de-stress when we get to do things that we enjoy and brings enjoyment to us and de-stress us.
Yes.
And that's a happy life. And we're striving for a happy life. We're striving for greatness. And we're striving for just being our best self at the end of the day, always. Mm-hmm. And being a single mom or a single parent, that could be hard sometimes. So we definitely want to put some of these things in place that help us establish that healthy emotional status so we can move forward. Because we always want to be our best self. I know me, I do. I'm still growing and learning different things. And we're glad we had you on to discuss these things for us, Shu. Do you have any events coming up? Or can you tell us where to find you? Because you do counseling also. Right?
Yes, I do. So I do offer counseling, and I do. I also do offer some webinars as well and workshops. So right now, I'll give you my website is graceandhopeconsulting.com. And if you want to find us on Facebook, it's also Facebook.com/graceandhopeconsulting, and it's written out as AND. I have, I do counseling. I offer half-hour sessions and an hour session, and that can be for anyone across the state. I do virtual session as well. And I have a webinar actually coming up on the 12th, which is, I guess, 11 days from today. And the title is Start Loving Yourself Today. And the focus of the webinar, it's 1 hour. It's, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern time to 9 p.m. And the focus of the webinar is to help you crush self-judgment, self-criticism, and low self-esteem, and then show you how to crush those down and how you can actually start embracing self-compassion and self-confidence. So it's all about love. February is about love. People think about Valentine's, especially as single mom. We're like, well, those of us who are not in a relationship, it can be a depressing moment. We're like, okay, here's another Valentine's Day I'm going to spend by myself. And that can be a reality, and I'm not taking that away, you know. But it doesn't have to be a miserable reality either. You know, you can still loving yourself for who you are. And, you know, as a counselor, a lot of the people that I work with, and, you know, and there's research done around this, like, it's when you look at people who don't love themselves, it's not that they don't want to. Sometimes they just don't know how to, you know, love themselves. often there's a lot of symptoms like of depression and anxiety and attachment issues. You know, they're always chasing for love and looking for love in all the wrong places because we haven't learned how to love ourselves first. So I, as a single mom, as you know, as another woman, I want to be there for my sisters and, you know, teach them those foundations of just that self-compassion, like how you can start loving yourself so that no matter who is in your life or not in your life, you still feel loved because you are loved. You should be able to feel love no matter who is coming in and out of your lives. So that, again, is February 12th. And if you go on Facebook, it's on the Facebook page. It's also on Eventbrite. Like I said, it's graceandhopeconsulting.com. And on Facebook, again, it's facebook.com/Grace and Hope Consulting.
Awesome. I like that, Shoot, about loving yourself with the webinar, because you hit a great point that it can be a little depressing when you don't have somebody and everybody's booed up and got couples and they're talking about they're going here and they're going there, and it's just you and these kids, but you got to love yourself. And like you said, that could be a very depressing time for some folks, but we want to just love ourselves and be the best person we can be, and it's a lot of grace in it.
Yes.
So that's on February 12th at 8 p.m., right? A webinar.
Yep. Yes.
And you said you also do workshops. You got any workshops coming up this month?
Look, right now, that's the only one I'm doing for this month. I have something coming in March, actually. I do a 5-week course that it's called Your 5 Steps to Achieving Emotional Wellness. And during the 5 weeks, we go through pretty much some of the things we just talked about right now. The first week, we'll look at, like, what's your mental or emotional wellness state at that moment. Like, I have a tool that we actually take an assessment. And then the second week, we look at triggers. And then the third week, we look at building a toolbox. Like, what are the tools so you can, you know, take care of those triggers that you're having to face. And then the fourth week, we look at how to deal with things that are out of control. Because sometimes those triggers are out of your control. Like, you know, one kid is sick and you have to, you know, figure out who's going to watch them and you have to go to work, and that's totally out of your control. So, you know, sometimes things like that will happen that will trigger anxiety and trigger your stress level, but you still need to deal with it. So that's what we focus on the fourth week. And then on the last week, then we go through, review everything we did the previous 4 weeks, and then we kind of create a plan for long term. It's like, now that you've learned all this, now that you hopefully have achieved some level of emotional wellness, how can you sustain this in the long term? So that starts March 1st, and that, again, is also on the Facebook page. I think March 1st, it starts at 6 p.m. So on the Facebook page, the event has the Mechanicsburg address. So what we do, it's going to be both live and face-to-face. So we're going to have a face-to-face location. Some local people will be attending. And then we're also going to be broadcasting it for Zoom for people who want to do it virtually.
Awesome. Y'all got all that information. So she got an event in February, and then she has the one in March, which is going to be a live, so you can see or virtually. So we definitely want to support you with Grace and Hope Consultants. And as we wrapping it up right now about emotional bondage and how we could get free from that, Chu gave us a lot of good pointers. Know your triggers. Be self-aware. Being self-aware of who you are, what triggers you, what sets you off, is the key to moving forward. When you don't know what sets you off and stuff, it's hard to get a grab on it and move forward. But know your triggers, be self-aware, delegate, look for help, connect with people, know your must-dos and can-dos, put deadlines, have some de-stressors, have a support system. And when you feel like you're not getting where the place you need to be, you still having problems, or you can't get those emotional bondage together, you can't just break free from it, seek help. Chu is here. She's a counselor. She says, seek counselor, professional help, life coach, a strong woman. knows when she needs help. And we want to be strong parents, not just women, but men. And men, we want to encourage them to show their emotions, and we want to do it in a safe place and where we could be vulnerable and not with just everybody, because we just want to not snap. We want to handle our emotions in a healthy way to grow and be our best self. So we thank you for having you, True. Any last words of encouragement or last point that you want to give before we get up out of here?
Yeah, I'll just say give yourself credit, your mom. I mean, you been through a lot, you know, and some often we forget to just, you know, pat ourselves in the back, especially when there's no one around to, you know, remind you all of all the hard work you put through, you know, your own life and your kids' life and all the good work that you're doing. It is okay to take a moment and literally encourage yourself. Say, I'm doing a good job. You're raising those kids. You're, you know, taking care of them. And even the fact that you've been listening to this podcast tells me that you care enough about yourself and your self-worth and your growth and your children's growth that you are investing that time to learn and to continue to grow. So that those are all strengths that you have. So please, 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 if you know, give yourself credit for all the work that you put into being the amazing woman that you are. Being a single mom is not easy, and it's not given for anyone either, but you're doing it. So you are a strong woman, and keep up the good work. Keep being that role model for your children. Keep being that role model for over, you know, younger sisters around who are watching, you know, and they, you know, sometimes you might not even realize how your action, your life is becoming a testimony or inspiration for somebody else that's coming behind you.
Awesome. That's true, because you never know who's watching you. Pat yourself on the back, ladies. Y'all doing it. Y'all out here doing it. Don't beat yourself up. We all have problems, issues, and situations, so we can move past that.
Yes.
So it's time to say goodbye, and we thank you for joining us, True, and giving us so many advice. Y'all check out Grace and Hope on Facebook Consulting. She got wonderful stuff going on, the webinar this month on the 12th and stuff going on in March. So definitely check her out. Look her up. And we also want to thank all our listeners and sponsors and network family. We thank y'all for connecting with us and listening to us every week. And definitely stay connected by liking and following and hearting us on all social media, Sage Network. And we want y'all to stay safe, avoid the drama, and raise those babies. Tune in to next week. Bye.
Bye. Huh?
How much do you love your mom?
Life.
A lot. She's beautiful, huh?
Yes.
It's a journey sacrifice, but I wouldn't trade it in for my life. It feels like the world's so much.